Throughout this morning, we're covering the explosions at the Boston Marathon. Three people are dead, many injured. Despite news reports to the contrary yesterday, police have said they do not have a suspect in custody. It's worth remembering that immediately after any tragedy, the most spectacular initial news reports are often wrong, and even facts that seem obvious turn out not to be facts.
We are also tracking other news on this Tuesday morning, and that includes a custody dispute that goes before the U.S. Supreme Court today. At issue is the reach of the Indian Child Welfare Act, known as ICWA. The law was enacted in 1978 to protect Indian tribes from having their children almost literally stolen away and given to white adoptive or foster parents. The case is likely of special interest to two of the justices, John Roberts and Clarence Thomas, who both have adopted children. Here's NPR Legal Affairs correspondent Nina Totenberg.
First, there's the tragic saga of this case. Christy Maldonado was an American of Hispanic heritage. She was engaged to be married to Dustin Brown, who considers himself Cherokee, though technically he's about 2% Native American. In 2009, Christy, a casino worker in Oklahoma and single mother of two, learned she was pregnant and told Dustin. But the relationship deteriorated and she broke off the engagement. Beyond these facts, the protagonists in this story agree on little. One fact, though, is beyond dispute. Whatever happened in the first few months of the pregnancy, Dustin eventually texted Christy that he was giving up his parental rights and would not support the child.
It punched me in the gut, knowing that the father of my child did not want her at all. And that's when I pretty much decided I had to do something, because I could barely even put food on the table for the kids at that time.
She decided to put her child up for adoption. Through an agency, she found a couple in South Carolina she liked, Matt and Melanie Capabianco, and the three agreed to an open adoption. The Capabiancos were in the delivery room for the birth, and Matt cut the umbilical cord. A month earlier, Christy, through her lawyer, sent a letter notifying the Cherokee tribe of her adoption plans, giving them a chance to intervene under the Indian Child Welfare Act. The tribe said it had no record of Dustin Brown as a tribal member, so the adoption went forward. 4 months after the birth of the baby girl, as Dustin was about to deploy to Iraq and as the adoption was about to become final, Dustin was served with papers notifying him of the adoption. He initially signed off on them, but within days filed an objection invoking the Indian Child Welfare Act. He says that in agreeing to give up his parental rights, he thought he was relinquishing his daughter to Christy.
I just figured the best interest would be for her to have the full custody of her, but for me to still be in the picture and be able to come visit and stuff.
Now, however, he sought full custody of his daughter, and while there's no doubt that he would not have had a leg to stand on in state court, the South Carolina courts ruled the federal law trumped state law. 16 months ago, the Capabiancos were ordered to give their then 2-year-old child to her biological father, a man she'd never met.
It was by far the worst day of our lives, and I'm sure of hers.
She cried after us.
The adoptive parents appealed to the U.S. Supreme Court, backed by the mother and the guardian ad litem appointed by the South Carolina Family Court to represent the best interests of the child. Normally, the Supreme Court does not hear such family law disputes, but this case is a test of the Indian Child Welfare Act. The law was enacted after extensive investigations and hearings revealed that 35% to 40% of the children born to Native American parents were being improperly removed and given to white adoptive and foster parents. Charles Rothfeld, Dustin Brown's lawyer, notes that these abuses were catastrophic for the tribes.
They were, you know, at risk of becoming extinct because their children were literally being taken away from them.
To prevent that, ICWA established a chain of adoptions for children with any Indian heritage. In the event that neither parent could take custody, other Indian family members were to have priority, and after that, tribal adoptive parents. Just how you see this case is something of a Rorschach test, with the adoptive parents seeing it one way, the father another, the mother yet another, and the court-appointed guardian still another. As the adoptive parents see it, they were not stealing a child from an Indian parent because he'd given up his parental rights. And as the Capabianco's lawyer, Lisa Blatt, puts it, the federal law was meant to protect Indian children from being snatched from their existing Indian families.
Even if he was a parent who could invoke the statute, the Indian Child Welfare Act only protects those parents who already have a prior custodial relationship.
Not so, say the tribes. They see the case as an attempt to undo the protections that Congress created in the face of evidence that state courts had abused the rights of tribal parents. Charles Rothfeld.
And so Congress decided it had to step in and create special federal rules superseding the state custody rules that would govern where Indian child custody was at stake.
For women, the case is about the autonomy of non-Indian mothers. The birth mother's lawyer, Lori Alvino McGill, contends that if Indian fathers can sweep in this way, based only on biology, why couldn't sperm donors or rapists do the same thing?
No other set of men can choose to kind of sit back, renounce all responsibility, but hold a back pocket veto to an adoption choice.
The guardian ad litem, represented by lawyer Paul Clement, says there's no box to check like the one that Dustin Brown is seeking.
Generally, you're not allowed to say, well, look, I don't really want to give you any financial support. I don't really want to have much to do with this child, but I do really want you, person I've just gotten pregnant, I want you to take care of this child, and I don't want you to do something like give up this child for adoption.
What's more, adds Clement, under state law, it is the best interests of the child that prevail.
Except if this federal statute applies and applies only on the basis of her Indian heritage, well, then everything changes. And it just, you know, completely shifts the focus of the whole proceeding around based on race. Well, that's something that we generally wouldn't think the Constitution allows.
Native Americans bristle at the charge of racial classification. Indian tribes, they note, are quasi-sovereign nations recognized by the U.S. Constitution.
This law does not apply because of race.
Chrissy Nemo, Assistant Attorney General of the Cherokee Nation on the Dr. Phil Show.
It's about this father was a citizen of the government. It's not just if you have Indian in your background.
Whatever the Supreme Court rules in June, the case of Baby Girl, as she is known, is heartbreaking. No one disputes that she was sublimely happy with her adoptive parents, and videos of her with her father, now married, seem to show a little girl equally happy. Her birth mother says that while she spent time with her child at the adoptive parents' home and spoke with her child on the phone, she now does not know where her daughter is. Neither do the adoptive parents. Dustin Brown says he's kept his daughter apart for the last 16 months to allow her to become used to her new home, away from the chaos and bitterness of the legal fight. Nina Totenberg, NPR News, Washington.